Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Ten plagues came upon Egypt. That was last Sunday morning's message. 10 times, and each of these plagues coincide with a false god in the land of Egypt. They worship the river Nile. They worship the flies. They worship the locusts. They worship the lice. They worship all. They worship the livestock. Each of these plagues that came their way destroyed their false gods. And every time a false god was put down and destroyed, each time Pharaoh's heart grew harder. Finally, it came to the 10th plague. So Pharaoh said no to God when the serpent, when the staff was turned into a serpent. Pharaoh said, no way. The river Nile was turned into blood. There was no sacrifice. It was just turned into blood. That's different than the Passover, all right? Just turned into blood. And Pharaoh said no. 9 times Pharaoh said no. 10 times if you include when he said no to Moses initially, Moses and Aaron in the court. And then they come to the 10th plague. And this is going to be it, all right? Look at chapter 11 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more. Now the 9th plague was a terrible plague. It was a supernatural darkness. If you read chapter 10, you find out that it even dimmed and overwhelmed the lights. I mean, everything was black. It was a thick blackness. I don't know, in my mind's eye, I picture if Pastor Bill's standing there and I'm standing here and he has a candle lit, I picture in my mind I could barely see the light of the candle. It was supernatural darkness before this final plague, before the judgment. Darkness before the judgment. I don't think I need to tell you that America is groping in darkness. And even though the truth is being heralded from many pulpits, America is not listening. Now, it doesn't have to be that way here. It doesn't have to be that way with young people. It doesn't have to be that way with old people. But I do know, and you know, there is a darkness in the land. And one plague more. Now, God in his mercy, he's giving more opportunity. Moses is told there's going to be one plague more. Verse 2, speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. Now, before I read verse 3, here's what's going on. God tells Moses to tell his children, the Hebrews, who are slaves. They don't have anything. And there's a long journey in front of them. As a matter of fact, God, in his wisdom and his providence and his omniscience, he knew they were going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. So they needed some wherewithal with them. And so God told Moses to tell the people of God, you go to the Egyptians and you will find favor with them. They weren't borrowing. It was being given to them. You will find favor with them and they will unload on the Hebrews in the land of Goshen their wealth. And when you leave, when I deliver you from the land of Egypt, you're going to go with great riches. That's just like salvation. We have so much in Jesus Christ. Man, we have more than we ever had before we got born again. And I'm not talking dollars and cents. I'm talking about the riches of Christ. And it's more than enough to make it through the journey, even if it's the wilderness. More than enough to get us home. It's a great truth being taught there. And he says in verse 3, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt and in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore. This is the way of man. Hebrews in chapter 9 and verse 27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die. in Exodus, we just read verses 4 and 5, death is the result of fallen man. Because Adam turned from God above in the garden, we, being the children of Adam, are going to die. That's just the fact. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3 and verse 18. Religion alone is a frustrating list of externals. That's all it is. Religion alone is a frustrating list of externals. And then I found the Savior. Made all the difference in the world. Breathed into me eternal life. Born again into the family of God. And religion has nothing to do with externals. Religion has to do with becoming more and more like Jesus. Living in a way and being helped to live in a way that I honor and glorify God. Religion's empty. I hope you know that. It's like a blind man on a black night in a black room trying to find a black cat that isn't there. It is hopeless. It is hopeless. That's why Jesus came. Man messed up. All we like sheep have gone astray. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. With man, with fallen man, came death. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. There needs to be a Passover lamb. That's what I'm getting to here in just a moment. But in the meantime, man by himself, we're a broken creature. Some ladies, I happen to know it was two ladies, worked really hard on the Christmas decorations this last week here in the auditorium of Fundamental Baptist Church. And they did. They did a fine job. It isn't overdone, just kind of the way I like it, and God bless them. But I came into the church on Friday, and one of these little fancy dance panels on the side of the auditorium here, they were held up with scotch tape, and every one of them had fallen down, and one of them's broken, and man, I go through life trying to be a blessing to people, so I went and got some Gorilla tape, and I patched them up. And I put the strings back on. I use Gorilla Tape on all of it, so it's not going to come off. I don't think. It's not going to come off. But last night during choir practice, I'm sitting up there, and I'm looking out at those things, and I realize, you know, now if I don't say this, nobody's going to notice it, except the two ladies that are here in the auditorium wondering, how could they get those things so crooked? And they're probably frustrated beyond belief, because I know they worked at it. But some of them are at different heights. And I got to tell you, just a confession, I am the reason for that. Even when we try to do things right, we many times do them wrong. The truth is, man is hopeless. We have got to have a Savior. We need the Passover lamb. The Passover, by the way, I'll inject this right now, is Old Testament. It was an ordinance. That's the very word used for the Old Testament Hebrews, for the nation Israel. It was to be a memorial. They were to remember their generations after the event. They were to observe this memorial and therefore remember the day that God delivered their forefathers from slavery in the land of Egypt. And there's all kinds of symbolism there and all kinds of pictures there in chapter 12. And we'll get to some of them in just a moment. And then at the Passover, Jesus being the Passover lamb. I'm just going to say that right. I was going to save that for the end. I'm going to say it right now so you hear it at least twice and you remember it. That Passover lamb was sacrificed on that day that the destroyer came through the land of Egypt. And the firstborn, all the firstborn died. The Passover lamb, the blood was shed. Jesus, on the very day of the evening sacrifice of the Passover week, Jesus was crucified at that time. He is the Passover lamb. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." It all fits together, same month, same day of the month. It's amazing how the Bible just fits together. It really is, because it's supernaturally inspired of God. And then at the Last Supper, it was the feast of the Passover where Jesus sat with the 12 and they partook of the Last Supper. And at that Last Supper and the feast of the Passover, which lasted 7 days, Jesus instituted the ordinance of the Lord's table. So the ordinance of the Lord's table, communion if you will, coincides, but it's not the same, what it is to the New Testament Christian, what the Old Testament, what the feast of the Passover was to the Old Testament child of God. Does that make sense to you? So God gives us a new ordinance. That's the word means order, and that's the Lord's table. Some churches observe it monthly. Some churches observe it every Sunday. I think that's wrong. All right? By the way, the Feast of the Passover was only once a year, and it was special. And we tried to keep it that way. We just happen to, at Fundamental Baptist Church, observe it about four times a year. And it is special. It is. Let's go back to the text. And I said all of that. Oh, I had you turn to John. Let me get there. John chapter 3 and verse 18. Of course, you're familiar with John chapter 3 and verse 16. But look what it says in verse 18 of chapter 3. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Again, this is the way of man. The death angel is coming. The way of Adam is the grave. Man's sin instituted death, but a Savior has come. And I want to tell you again, this is the way of God. He is the Passover Lamb. You don't receive him by ritual. You don't receive him by act. You receive him by repenting of your sin in your heart and crying out to him and asking and receiving, simply receiving the gift of eternal life. Go back to Exodus in chapter 11. Exodus in chapter 11. Verse 6 says there's going to be a great cry like has never been heard in the earth. And you can imagine on that night when in every household the firstborn is found dead. And it wakes up their neighbor, the weeping, the wailing. And they find someone dead in their household. Firstborn, man and beast, from the palace to the prison. Verse 7, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that he may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. That's a terrible night. There's death everywhere. People are weeping and wailing. You can hear them throughout the cities and throughout the countryside. But it's eerie because not even a dog is barking. I mean, all you hear is the wailing. God hardened Pharaoh's heart again. Let's pick up with verse chapter 12 and verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of the months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, that's April, that's March and April, The 10th day of this month shall they take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. He said, listen, if you're not rich enough to have a lamb, then you invite your neighbor, or you go to your neighbors. By the way, there's room in the family of God for your neighbors. There's room in the family of God for everybody. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. The Passover lamb is not just for you. It's for your neighbor. Have you talked to your neighbor? Your physical neighbor. Have you told them about Jesus Christ? Or you just kind of go through life. You understand there's a day you give an account to God. Will there be blood on your hands? Because you are not concerned about your neighbor. God has made a way for everyone. You understand that? Rich and poor in the family of God. The way of man is death. The way of God is eternal life. The lamb had to be a perfect sacrifice. Let's read on just a little bit. Verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. He made a way, sheep or goats, whatever you had, blood had to be shed. But it had to be the best that you had, without blemish. It needed to be a male in the prime of its life, in its first year, just like Jesus was in his 33rd year, in the prime of his life as manhood, without blemish, without spot. And he who was without sin became sin for us. He said, you observe that lamb or that goat for 4 days. You make sure it's healthy. You make sure it's the best you have. You don't cut corners in salvation. There's only one way. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight and narrow is the gate that leadeth unto life eternal, and few there be that find it. There's one Lamb. His name is Jesus. There's one Savior for all of the world, for every generation, for every nation. He is Jesus the Christ, the Lamb of God, actually slain before the foundation of the world. God knew what he was doing when he created this whole world, and he loves sinners. That's an amazing thought. You watch that lamb for 4 days. You observe it. By the way, Jesus was scrutinized first by Annas, the father-in-law of Caiaphas, in John in chapter 18, then by Caiaphas, the high priest, then by Pilate in Luke in chapter 23, then by Herod, then back to Pilate. And you know what Pilate's summation was? Summarizing all those that scrutinized Christ before him in these mock trials? I find no fault in him. He is the perfect Lamb of God. He who did no sin. That's why he is the propitiation for our sins. That's why he's able to be our advocate and our mediator. He is the very Lamb of God. Tim Rader's a sinner. But Bill Lockhart is a sinner. Joshua Rader, he's a sinner. But we have a perfect Savior. We're going to heaven because of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Here's the Passover. Oh, what a picture. I've only got about 6 minutes left. I got a lot to preach. I'm going to shift into high gear, so stay with me, all right? He's the perfect Lamb of God. You pick yourself a lamb. You find that lamb. In some cases, it'll be a goat. That's okay. But you make sure it's the best. He's unblemished. He's without spot. He's the best you have. A year old, a male, and you're going to take and you're going to sacrifice that lamb. And you're going to shed his blood. And you're going to take hyssop. That's a bush in their area of the world. And you take and you dip it in the blood of the lamb. And at your door of your house, on both sides and at the top of the door, you spread the blood. It says strike. And Jesus was beaten for our sins. He said, you strike it. And you put it over the top. And it doesn't take much of an imagination to picture him. There's the cross right there. There's the cross. By the way, he didn't say put it on the threshold. We're not to walk over Calvary. We're not to take light the cross and the blood that was shed for our sins. It took the very blood of the very and only begotten Son of God for Tim Rader to get to heaven. And that perfect lamb with that perfect blood, it was bled out for me there at Calvary. You make sure it's on the door of your household. And then anybody that enters into that door on that night will be safe. And the destroyer, that's what he's called in the very next chapter, or in the latter part of this chapter, will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This is called the Feast of the Passover. They were to remember in generations to come when the death angel passed through Goshen and passed over their houses. Because of the blood of the Lamb. Do you see the picture? The beauty of the scripture? Over 400 times it says there's one way to heaven. The Lamb of God. Not ritual. Not religion. Not burning candles. Not chanting some chant. Not some nirvana. Not getting to the place where you no longer sin. Impossible. But the Lamb of God. Who died in our place. Go back to Goshen. The destroyers passing through the land. Man, you don't mess with God. The destroyers passing through the land. They entered into the household. There in the destroyer sees the blood and passes over them. Now, picture them awake in their homes eating, because that's what they're told to do. They're to eat the roasted flesh of the lamb. And eat it all. Because you need strength for the journey. Can you imagine transporting 2 million people? Strength for the journey is provided by the Lamb. The journey of life. Jesus Christ has provided for you. You know when he did it? Back at Calvary. He gives to you the grace of life like we heard about this morning in our Sunday school class. And in the journey of life, you need to understand this. You got saved. Jesus is enough to get you through life. He's enough. And they were to partake, and while they're eating, they hear weeping and crying from without in every direction. No dogs barking. That would be the normal situation. There's an eerie silence. And they can hear crying from afar. Because they weren't under the blood. They're eating. Who knows what conversations took place that night? As a father and his household, and maybe his neighbors from every direction. And they're eating as God provides for them. Here's another point. Look at verse 11. Skip all the way down to verse 11. And thus ye shall eat it, with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Pack your bags. Eat with your clothes on. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put off your salvation. If you're here and you don't know that you're born again, the Word of God says today is the day of your salvation. You're hearing the gospel? Today is the day that you turn to Christ, that you should turn to Christ. Don't put it off. Many a time, just last Sunday night, I did it again, where I knelt beside the bed of a man in a hospital, and he never regained consciousness, and for the fact that he might be able to hear, and I didn't know if he could hear or not, he never insinuated that, but I know that a lot of times, and I've talked to enough, you the last thing to go is your hearing, even if you're in a coma. And so I explained the gospel to him like he was hearing every word I could hear, and there was another man in the room, and I prayed the sinner's prayer and invited them to Christ, and I pray he got saved because he's in eternity right now. And I just heard this morning that they believe he got saved just prior to that. I'm glad. Well, I'm excited about that. You may not have that opportunity. Today is the day of your salvation. Today God is going to lead you out of Egypt and not leave you behind. So get yourself ready. Very important. Now let's pick up with verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. That's what the plagues were all about, gods, little g. All kinds of gods in the world today. They'll always let you down, man. They'll always let you down because they're not gods. If you can carry it, that god, that little god, will go as far as you can carry it, and that's it. Not going any further. Depends on your strength. Many people worship gods that don't even know their name. Man, I'll tell you what. Stinking Ohio State ruined it for Wisconsin. I wanted a Big Ten representative in the Final Four. You just can't count on anything. And I want to say this. I think I said this 2 weeks ago. Those of you that worship athletics and worship sports, and I'll say it that way, because you know more statistics than you know Bible verses. You read more this week than you did Bible. You know more about it than you know of your God in heaven who has saved you. I want to tell you about your God. They don't even know you exist. They don't even know your name. What are you so devoted about? How about being devoted to Jesus Christ? Because he's the true God of heaven. Well, God wiped out all these little gods in Egypt, and I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. I am. I am that I am. The all-sufficient one. There is no God but the Lord God Jehovah. There's only one throne, and there's the Godhead. That's it, man. That is it. There's no vacancy in the Trinity for anybody. You're either a sinner or you're a sinner saved by grace. And I trust and pray that you're a sinner saved by grace. The work of the Lamb is big. It only had to happen one time. And the work of the Lamb went as, oh man, I got to skip all kinds of verses. Verses 8 and 9, he says, fill up, right? One Calvary. There was only one Passover. All the other feasts of Passover, they were in memorial. They were to remind the Hebrews. There's only one Calvary. The Lord's table and baptism, they're a reminder. There's only one Calvary. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. talking about Jesus, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. There's only one Calvary. Only one time did the Son of God had to offer his body a sacrifice and bleed out for the sins of the world. Only one time. Jesus, the Lamb of God, died for the sins of the world, all the way from Adam to the last man that is going to breathe air in this planet in which we live. He provided salvation for all if they'll just come to him. Just receive the Passover lamb. I wanted to make a big thing about the blood. I've got about 10 verses here, don't have any time. But go back to Exodus and let's just read one verse. Chapter 12 and verse 13. Chapter 12 and verse 13. Of the 10 plagues, 9 of them, the first 9, could not and did not deliver the people of God from the land of Egypt because there was no sacrificial lamb. All the religion in the world isn't going to get you to heaven, no matter how well-intentioned. It was the 10th plague, the Passover, where life was given, where blood was shed. That's what delivered the people of God out of the land of Egypt. Verse 13, Exodus 12. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When God the Father sees this sinner man who trusted Jesus Christ, he sees this sinner through the prism of the blood of his only begotten Son. I went through the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. I went through the door. I'm under the blood. When he sees this sinner who disappoints him and lets him down and goes astray again and again, he sees the righteousness of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. Just like the hymn writer said, that's the Passover. We don't observe the Passover anymore. We're the New Testament local church. The head of the church, the Passover lamb, became the head of the church. The Passover lamb became the Savior of the world. And he said, now I want to institute a new ordinance. I'm going to build my church. I'm going to birth my church. And when you are my church, there's two ordinances I'm going to give you, baptism and the Lord's table. And they're to commemorate Calvary. Calvary, the work of salvation.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.